adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belongs the highest praise. The sufferings, this passing tide, under your wings I will.
Please stand for our call to worship. Our reading this morning comes from Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Will adore, singing forever. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day and calling us into this place to worship you and to honor you with our voices, with our hearts, with our words, with our thoughts, Lord. And we just pray that as we do so today, that everything we think, say, and do here would bring you glory and honor, that it would be a sweet offering to you, that it would be acceptable to you, Lord. And we know that there are times or there are things that come into our lives, Lord, that distract us from doing so, things that we think about, things that we've got going on each and every day, and those things tend to just pull us away from being focused on you and focused on who you are and all that you've done, Lord. And so we take a couple seconds or a couple minutes or whatever it might be, Lord, to offer those things up to you in silence as we recognize those things are not good for us and they're not the way that you want us to live, Lord. Lord, once again, keep our hearts focused, keep our minds focused, keep our eyes looking upward to you, Lord, and help us to bring glory and honor to you with everything we do here. We pray all these things in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Santo, santo, santo. Señor omnipotente, siempre al labio mío, lo ores te darás.
Our second scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 57. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must be put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must be put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Souls of men she craved. Sun and moon from balcony turned their head in disbelief. Their precious blood would taste the sting, disfigured and disdained. On Friday a thief, on Sunday a king. Laid down in grief, but awoke with the keys to hell on that day, firstborn of the slain. Jesus Christ lay dead in his grave. Oh, 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 oh. So 3 days in darkness slept, the morning sun of righteousness arose to shame the throes of death and overturn his rule. The daughters and the sons of men pay not their dues again. Dead of blood, they owed was rent, they rolled anew. On Friday a thief, on Sunday a king. Laid down in grief, but awoke with the keys to hell on that day. Firstborn of the slain, the man Jesus Christ laid death in his grave. Sunday a king laid down in grief but awoke with the keys to hell on that day, firstborn of the slain, the man Jesus Christ laid death in his grave. Oh, step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see.
asombroso para mí.
Oremos. Gracias, Señor, por este día. Gracias por la bendición que somos de ser tus hijos. Te pedimos, Señor, que en este momento puedas abrir nuestras mentes y nuestros corazones para la enseñanza que tienes a través del pastor Tomás. Bendícelo y úsalo para hablar a nuestros corazones, Señor. En tu nombre oramos y damos las gracias. Amén.
Good morning. Buenos dias. Ah, there we go. See, I'm trying to shake it up a little bit and throw a few more terms in there. I don't know that many, but it's going to be limited. But we'll get there. We'll get there. My name is Darden Kaler. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope Church, and I am here to just tell you a little bit about what's going on each and every week, because being a Christian and being a part of a church and being a part of the body of Christ is not just about what you do on Sunday mornings. It's about what you do throughout the week together, how you praise God and worship God together and serve his people and the world around us. So I'm just going to talk about just some things that are going on. Who knows what Wednesday is this week? It is Valentine's Day. Usually we have Bible studies for women on Monday, a couples or whoever on Tuesday, and then men on Wednesday. But guess what? This Wednesday, there is no men's group because it's Valentine's Day. So, wives, you're welcome. Yes. Pardon me? And Ash Wednesday. See, there you go. So there you go. So, wait, that means Tuesday's Mardi Gras. Hey, there you go. Happy Mardi Gras. All right. So, anyway, just guys, remember that. Don't show up here if you do. I mean, you can show up here and upset your wife by leaving her alone. But if you do that, then you're going to be alone, too, because we won't be here. Also, we've got Discover Hope is starting on March 10th, so that's 3 weeks, 4 weeks. That's 4 weeks from today. So if you are interested in finding out more about Hope Church or joining Hope Church, go see Tom. You can see me. You can see Pebby. You can just ask somebody. Ask the person next to you, and if they don't know, they'll help you find the person. And we can help you figure out what you need to do for that. Also, we have a chili cook-off coming up on, it was supposed to be March 3rd, but we are going to move it to February 25th. Is that correct? You're good with that? Joe's good with that? All right. We're moving it a week early because our fearless leader is not going to be in town on March 3rd, and so so we decided instead of trying to pull it off without her, we would just make an adjustment. So if you are interested, there'll be 12 spots open for chili. If you think you have some great, great chili to eat, or as Tom likes to call it, stew, which I say, what is it? Chili con frijoles? Chili con frijoles, right? he doesn't think that's chili. Anyway. If you have something that tastes like chili, looks like chili, smells like chili, but has beans in it, you can bring that as well. We accept those as entrances, because that's what I'll be bringing if I decide to enter. I'm not going to tell anybody. Let me see, what else have we got going? Let's stop with that. I'm going to invite Tom to come on up.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm blaming it on this mute button. It doesn't always toggle the way it should. It's not my fault. Good morning. Again, I'm Pastor Tom. If you are visiting with us, this is one of our response cards. We'd love for you to fill that out and we will follow up with you accordingly. If you have any prayer requests, this is also a great way to communicate with us. Just put your prayer request on the card and drop it in the bucket on your way out, and we will take it from there. But please do communicate what's going on in your life with us so that we can be in prayer with you and for you. Let's see. We already covered chili cook-off. because Jackie's going to be in Mexico on March. Why don't we just have church in Mexico? Are we going to Cabo, Cancun? Where are we going?
Ziwat.
All right. Okay. I can do that. Anybody else in? Church in Mexico?
Sure.
No? Okay. Pebby's going. If Pebby goes, I go. That's how that works. We can zoom it from the beach. That'll work. All right, so you got that memo. We're going to bump Chili Cook-Off forward this way a week, and should still be a good time. Hope you can make it. We'll send out details soon. Let's see. I would like to have all of the important people come down to the front. If you are in fifth grade or younger, you're invited up here for our children's chat this morning before you go to Hope for Kids. Come on up, Pipes. There you go. Yeah. Good morning. Staying down there? Okay. It's a free country. I'm good with that. How's everybody doing today? Yeah? Good morning. Good to see you. Okay. Let's see. We have been talking about what it means to have a stronger and stronger faith. What are some of the things that we need in order to have a stronger and stronger faith?
¿Cuáles son algunas de las cosas que necesitamos si vamos a tener un fe más fuerte? Alguito. ¿Qué necesitamos?
What do we need to have a stronger faith? Jesus. We're done. And God. Same, right?
Same thing. It's just two
names. Right. Good. Okay, we're done. Thanks. Good job. So, I'm not done. You can't get rid of me that easy. So, yes, Jesus is always the right answer at a children's chat. That is correct. Even if I hold up a picture of a squirrel, what's the right answer?
Jesus.
Yes. Okay. I think you get it. So, listen to this. Blessed or blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Jesus.
God.
And we're to walk in his ways. Blessing comes by following
Jesus,
his way. And the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a goal. Yes. Here, there's a gold star. You here, turn your hand over like that. There you go. Boom. All right. Good job. Okay. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and he gives us his word so that we can know his will, what he wants for us. And blessing is found by staying in God's will, by following his word, by loving his son, whose name is
Jesus.
God and the Holy Spirit. Right? Good. Okay. Any questions?
No.
Okay. Can I pray with you guys?
Yeah.
All right. Dear God, thank you that you have given us your son, Jesus, to show us the way, and that as we walk in that way, you will lead us, grow us, and make our faith stronger and stronger. And there, in Jesus, we will find blessing and growth and life and health and goodness. And we thank you for all of these blessings that you give to your children. And I pray your blessing over these children as they spend more time in your word and Hope for Kids today. Fill them with your Holy Spirit and lead them into a deeper understanding of how much you love them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Great job. Y'all have fun in Hope for Kids. How come y'all don't look that excited? Don't answer that question. All right. Very good. Well, let's I'm going to open with a prayer. And as I do this, I just want to kind of explain what we're doing. There are several traditions in the course of worship in Christian history that we're kind of rolling into this prayer. And one of them is the idea that we're inviting God to speak to us through his word. And in to that end, we want to acknowledge before him that we are sinful and we need his forgiveness. The other thing that we're trying to do is sort of roll out from this place all of those aspects of our faith that God wants us to express in the world. So we're going to pray for our country and its leaders, our troops and first responders, and then we're going to pray for the people that we're connected to through our denomination, because we're part of a big family. We're part of a big family of God, and we want to honor that and recognize that as we come together as this family. So if you would, just join me, and we're going to kind of try to capture both of those goals in this prayer. God, our loving Father, as we come before your word today, we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and lead us into a deeper understanding of your grace, your truth, and your love for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We acknowledge before you that we are sinful and we are in need of your forgiveness and grace. And so we render ourselves before you in that posture of acceptance of what you have done for us on the cross. And Lord, as we come before you in this way, we pray that you would take the burdens of our hearts and remind us that we are blessed, that we are loved, that we are known and remembered by our God. We give to you those relationships in our lives that are strained, and we pray for peace and reconciliation where it is needed. We lift to you those whom we know and love who are sick or facing uncertain diagnoses, and we pray your healing mercies over your people. We lift to you those who mourn, and we pray your comfort over their hearts and souls. And Lord, we lift to you our nation and our leaders at every level of government, elected and appointed. We pray for wisdom and discernment in the decisions that are before them. We lift up our men and women in uniform, both in the military and in our first responders. We pray your blessing and protection over them all. We ask that you would be with those who are in harm's way and that you would bring them home safely. We lift to you those who've returned home changed as a result of the sacrifices they've made to defend our freedoms. And we pray your healing over them, mind, body, and soul. And Lord, we lift up your church here at Hope and around the world. We pray for all those churches that we are connected to through our denomination and through our missions giving. And we just pray for your word to continue to go forth through your people and not return to you empty. We pray that you would be with us now, speak to us through your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and lead us into a more complete understanding of your love through Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. All right. So, we're in a series of messages called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It is a study of the 15 Psalms of Ascent. These are in the book of Psalms, and they are the psalms that God's people would have sung on their approach to the temple in Jerusalem for a high holy day. So this is the part of the hymn book of the ancient faith in Israel. And the psalm we're going to read today is Psalm 128, and you're going to see three different references in this psalm to Jerusalem, to Israel, and to Zion. And I want you to think, when you see those place references, I want you to think about that's the church, that's us, that's all of the people of the family of faith of God's chosen people. before Jesus and after Jesus. And so as you hear those words, Israel, Jerusalem, and Zion, think of, well, you, us, the church, okay? All right. So we're going to read this in three different translations. We're going to start in the ESV, and I'm just going to read Psalm 128, a song of ascents. The ascents just means that this was the song that would have been sung as they were ascending to the temple in Jerusalem, which was up on a hill. That was probably not a necessary clarification. Anyway, all right, Psalm 128, a song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Then I'm going to read from a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. This was written by a pastor named Eugene Peterson, who also wrote the book Along Obedience in the same direction that we're kind of using as a guide through this series. And so this is Eugene Peterson's take on Psalm 128. All you who fear God, how blessed are you. How happily you walk on his smooth, straight road. You worked hard and deserve all you've got coming. Enjoy the blessing, soak in the goodness. Your wife will bear children as a vine bears grapes, your household lush as a vineyard, the children around your table as fresh and promising as young olive shoots. Stand in awe of God's yes. Oh, how he blesses the one who fears God. Enjoy the good life in Jerusalem every day of your life, and enjoy your grandchildren. Peace to Israel. I'm going to throw one more verse in here that I'm going to refer to later, and that's from John chapter 14, verse 6. I'm just going to read that one verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And now I'm going to read Psalm 128 in Spanish from the Bible of Latin America. I don't know what the first L stands for. But here we go. Salmo 128, Cántico de Ascenso Gradual. Bienaventurado todo aquel que teme al Señor, que anda en sus caminos. Cuando comas del trabajo de tus manos, dichoso serás y te irá bien. Tu mujer será como fecunda vid en el interior de tu casa, tus hijos como plantas de olivo alrededor de tu mesa. He aquí que así será bendecido el hombre que teme al Señor. El Señor te bendiga desde Sion, veas la prosperidad de Jerusalén todos los días de tu vida y veas a los hijos de tus hijos. Paz sea sobre Israel. Amén. Where is Pastor Miguel? ¿Va usted con algunos para estudiar en español o vas a quedar aquí? Ok, está bien. ¿Vas a quedar? ¿Vas a quedar aquí? Tried to work this out in advance. Apparently didn't work. Ok, entonces vas a quedar aquí. Ok, perfecto. Está bien. No hay problema. Bienvenidos. Ok, so what that was all about, just in case you're wondering what on earth is going on around here, I don't know either. obviously. But so as our Hispanic pastors are gathering people to Hope, we're going to try to begin the option of them going perhaps into the library initially and having their own time of study in their native language during my long, boring sermon. So that's what that, I thought we were set up for that, but we're just going to chill here today, which is totally fine. All right. So, all right. Psalm 128. The take that Eugene Peterson uses to approach this psalm in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, is this idea that this psalm is a call into happiness. I would probably prefer the word joy. I see happiness as a more transient reality and joy as a more eternal aspect or reality. And so, but nonetheless, there is something here that God is saying in Psalm 128 that is, in fact, a call to be both joyful and happy in this life. And this may be something that we can tend to forget as Christians, that God actually wants us to have joy in all of our circumstances. And in many occasions, in many circumstances, he wants us to be happy. He wants us to enjoy his creation, his provision, his grace, his blessing, all of those aspects of who God is and what he does for us. So in the book that Eugene Peterson wrote about the chapter about this psalm, he talks about how Christians can tend to believe that we're not supposed to be happy, that this life is a continual struggle, and it's we're called into this painful slog towards eternity. And I would say that there is some truth to that. There are some very real aspects of life in this sphere of existence that are not pleasant, and those things can come and go. And at the same time, there is a component of our faith that connects us to something that is transcendent, meaning that's beyond our suffering, that's greater than our circumstances, that is more real, more eternal than our suffering. And so in that sense, we can have, even in the midst of an unfortunate circumstance, we can have joy. What this psalm is mostly talking about is this idea that God is actually growing us toward fulfillment and joy and enjoyment of this life as well as the next. And so it's sort of an unusual perspective in that sense, and I'm not going to go like all, I won't use anyone's name, but those preachers that talk about being happy but they don't talk about Jesus, like those guys, that's not where I'm going, right? There is a joy that transcends this existence that I want us to tap into and live out of. And so let's just begin looking at what we see here. I think the first thing out of the box in Psalm 128, verse 1, is a call to strike the right balance. If you want to be happy, you need to strike the right balance in life. And it's very simple. Verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, that's one side, and who walks in his ways, that's the other side. And so, what do we see here? We see a call to respect God. You've heard me say this before. If you want to be happy, stop focusing on you. It's not going to be found here. Happiness is found outside of ourselves. And the psalmist understands this and says if the first step toward this thing called happiness is to get your perspective set on who God is, to have reverence and awe and respect for your Creator, to fear God, as he says it in the psalm. So I'm going to tell you a story about a group of people you could not possibly care less about. About 100-some-odd pastors were called together by the King of England in, wait for it, 1641. And the King of England said this. This was their charge. He said, okay, every time the throne, the crown changes in this country from Protestant to Catholic and then back to Protestant and back to all the hundreds, if not thousands of people are being executed every time we flip. What we're going to do, y'all are going to get in this room, was called the Jerusalem Room of Westminster Abbey, believe it or not. And he packed like 100-some-odd sweaty pastors in black robes into this room. I cannot imagine the smell. And he said, y'all need to figure out what we believe, what our standards are, what the theology of the Church of England is going to be moving forward, and don't stop coming together and doing this until you have something for me. So in 1648, they came back to the king with a complete document called the Westminster Confession of Faith. And it contained larger and shorter catechisms, which ironically were for teaching children. So check out the larger catechism of the Westminster Confession and read it to your kids and see how well that, I mean, if you need them to go to sleep, it'll work great. But times have changed, have they not? So the very first question of the larger catechism of the Westminster Confession, so think about this, roughly 8 years, 100-plus clergy packed in a room, they would meet, they would give each other homework assignments, they would go home, pastor their churches, they'd come back, they'd meet again, they'd go over their assignments, they'd work out what they were agreeing on. 8 years of this, and here's question number one. What is the chief end of man? In other words, what is the purpose of life? John? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Yeah, close enough. Yeah, he still loves you. You know, yeah, right idea. Right God, anyway. That's all that matters. So think about that. There it is, crystallized all this time, all these souls, all this effort. Question number one, what is the meaning of life? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. And you see that in this psalm. In verse one is the glorify God. Right? Respect God. If you want to be happy, get your focus off of yourself and focus on what brings God glory. Service, love, sacrifice. What brings God glory? There are lots of answers to that question. But that's where your focus begins, under that banner of glorifying God. And then engage his word. I'm just going to frame this as simply as I can. This book consists of 66 different works as we assemble them in English, and it is fundamentally a love letter. That's what it is. It's not a car manual. It's not a user's manual. It's not a recipe book. It's not a lot of things. Fundamentally, at the end of the day, God loves you, he's crazy about you, and he wants you to know that simple truth, that he loves you. You are loved, and that is the message. You are to step into that place as an object of God's love and enjoy everything his love brings to your life. So, the road to happiness begins by striking the right balance inside yourself, by taking your focus off of you and having respect for God and engaging his word to the extent that you are enjoying everything that his love brings to your life. Strike the right balance. Follow the road. Eugene Peterson, in his book, makes a great point. If you are in a place on the globe where all the roads go east and west, and only east and west, and you insist on going north or south, don't expect that to be easy. The roads are made to go that way, and you want to go that way or that way. If we will just get on the road and follow the road that God has set for us, we will eventually get to an intersection where you can go along the road the direction that God wants you to go. But if you want to off-road it your entire life, it's going to be bumpy and muddy and sandy and wet and uncomfortable in so many ways. God has made a way for you. And his name, as the kids so articulately said, is Jesus. So I'm just going to take you back to John 14, verse 6. Real quick, we read it earlier. Jesus said to him, he's speaking to the apostle Thomas, who's a little confused at this point in his life, and Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there is the road, and the psalmist talks about it. Who walks in his ways. And there it is. The road is a person. His name is? Well done. You get a gold star. I'll give you one after the service if you want it. That road is paved with grace, atonement, redemption, and love. These are the stones that make the way forward for us in this world. We have a Savior. We have a Redeemer. We have a God who loves us, who's crazy about us. And the road, while it is paved with grace, atonement, redemption, and love, it leads to forgiveness, reconciliation, peace, and life. So, we have this person who has made the way for us. And you see in the psalm these images of the fruit of your labor and blessing, and it shall be well with you. And your wife will be a fruitful vine. Your children will be like olive shoots. These images of growth and enjoyment and blessing. And these are the things that God fills our lives with while we follow the road that is paved for us by Christ, by his sacrifice on the cross. You and I have a way that we don't deserve. We've been given a gift that we could not earn for ourselves. And therein lies the secret, brothers and sisters. As we focus on him and that sacrifice, we suddenly become equal in every possible respect. There, at the foot of that cross, the ground is level, and our eyes are all looking up. We can't really look at ourselves or look at each other and compare ourselves to one another if we are in awe, if we are gazing up at a loving Savior who died for our forgiveness. He is the way and the truth and the life. We are to follow the road. So we strike the right balance, we follow the road, and we enjoy his blessings. God has good for you. That doesn't mean you're not going to have any problems. I'll just go ahead and tell you, you are. We are going to have problems in this life. That's not news, right? The news is that you have an eternal God who is present in the midst of it all. And you are called to enjoy his blessings in spite of your circumstances, to enjoy his blessings in life. Verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. God desires to bless you. Does that mean he's going to make you rich? I mean, I kind of hope he does, because then I can go to your lake house. Well, you already have a lake house. Well, it used to be a lake house. Now it's like a mud house. They drained all the water. I'm a sore subject. River house. River-ish. Yeah. Okay. There it is. This idea that we are to enjoy God's blessings in life, to know that he wants what's best for you. Tell me I'm wrong. Sometimes that's hard to believe. How on earth could this be God wanting what's best for me? And yet, while God does not cause evil in this world, he does do his best work in the wake of it. He shows up, he pours out, he fills us, he grows us, he brings us and draws us closer to him, to his heart, in his love. We are blessed. Regardless of our circumstances, we are blessed in life and in the church. Those three terms, Zion, Jerusalem, and Israel, used in verses 5 and 6, those all stand for or represent God's chosen people. Did you know that you are in that group? Here we are. You are in the family of God because God chose to bring you, redeem you, love you, restore you into fellowship with him and with one another. We are here because of the sovereign will of God. There is a great equalizer in that as well. If we were here because we figured out the mystery of life and we were smarter than the rest of humanity, there would be a pride in that. Like, look at us. We got it all figured out. Whereas I can proudly or not proudly say I'm as big an idiot as anybody else on this planet, but for some reason, God in his sovereign grace said, that one. I want the world to see what love would look like if I redeemed that idiot, this idiot, from himself, right? And so here we are, the fellowship of the undeserving, standing together, sitting together, wherever we are, as part of this eternal family of God's chosen people. The word Israel comes from the book of Genesis. The guy's name was originally Jacob, which, if translated loosely, would be dirt bag. That's literally what the name would have meant in its original context. It was heel grabber, one who trips up others to gain advantage over them, one who's always scheming, conniving, who cannot be trusted. That's who Jacob was in his adult life before he met God on the banks of the Jabbok River. And the story says that they wrestled together all night. And when the match was over, Jacob thought he had won, and God's like, oy vey, And God touched him on his hip, and he limped for the rest of his life in pain as a result of that. And God says, I'm changing your name. I'm changing your name from dirtbag or scummy dude or whatever you want to call it, to one who wrestles with God, Israel. That same name is the name Sarah is embedded in the word Israel, Israel, Sarah, Sarah. You see it there? Okay. That means, well, we would translate that princess or one who rules with God. If it's princess with an L, the EL stands for Elohim in Hebrew, and that means God. So one who rules with God, Israel. So we have a two-sided meaning to our name. As God's chosen people, we are those who wrestle with God, and we are those who ultimately rule with God. We are placed, we are taken from that place of irredemption and placed in a place of honor and esteem and value, to in a place where we are called princes and princesses with God. That's you. Who knew that we are taken from this place of being dirty and brought by the blood of Christ into this place of honor and value where we rule with God forever? So there we are, called to enjoy God's blessings in this life and in the church. Here's, how do I want to say this? Church is messy work. It is. Because you have different opinions, you have different temperaments, you have different ideas, you have different everything. Sometimes you have competing agendas within the same church. That gets really painful. And yet, there's one thing as how do I want to say this? I love what I do. Please do not misunderstand me. I absolutely love what I do. I am not very organized. That's not news to most of you. That's why Darden is here. Like, he is actually organized. He has his ducks in a row, and it's disgusting. But I love him. And so because of some of my personal qualities, lack of organization, let's just take it that way, okay? Things happen. Things get messed up. We put the chili cook-off on the wrong date, and then we have to move it. Okay, that was me, just in case you were wondering. Hey, keep it down back there. And people get hurt when I don't communicate. People feel unloved. People, all kinds of bad things happen because I'm not perfect. Okay. At the end of the day, this place isn't about me. And it's about Jesus, and it's about us, and it's about what happens when messed up people are redeemed by the blood of the Son of God against the grain of what they deserve, and they're brought into the same family, and we are called to enjoy each other. For this to be a joy, our worship, our fellowship, our what happens inside these walls and outside these walls should be a blessing to you and to people outside of our church. Like, we should be light and salt to others. That is goodness, good things. Together in life, in the church, we are to enjoy God's blessings, to enjoy God's family. I'm gonna talk about somebody without their permission. Don't worry, it's all nice. So my kids, when they were in middle school, were playing sports. And one day, at one of their sporting events, I see Lori Branson, a member of this church, at the little gate paying her ticket to go watch one of my daughters play in a game. And I'm like, what on earth is she doing here? Right? And I thought like maybe she had like a cousin's nephew something in the game on the other team or something. I didn't know. She comes and sits down next to Kathy and I. I'm like, hey. She's like, I'm so excited to see, I don't know, Sydney, Annie, I don't remember which one it was, see them play. And I'm like, you crazy? And she's like, well, I don't have any grandkids yet. So I've just decided I'm adopting all the kids in the church, all the teenagers, all the kids. They're just my grandkids now. I'm like, okay. And I think the Trues were like at a weightlifting competition in College Station with their oldest son, and Lori shows up and to watch it. It's like, what on earth is going on, right? And I just want to say this, like, that's the way to do church. Just like, this is my family, I'm buying in, I'm going to go to the game, whatever. And I'm not telling you to go to everybody's sporting events, I'm just saying what a beautiful example of the fact that we're in a family. That's what this is. And so here we are, as God's children, called into fellowship with each other to enjoy his blessings. No, it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be fun, but we're called together and we're called to enjoy this gift of being part of this eternal family. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we thank you that your love transcends this life, that you give us in the midst of all circumstances the capacity to have joy, to know who you are, and that you love us beyond what we can possibly comprehend. Lord, we thank you that you call us to walk in the way of your Son, to get our perspectives off of ourselves and onto you and the things that matter to you, to follow what you have shown us, and to enjoy the blessing of being part of your family. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to lay aside our differences of opinion and perspective and to come together in your name to enjoy being part of your eternal family. Lord, your blessing, your spirit, your presence, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belongs the highest praise. These sufferings, this passing tide, under your wings I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope and victory. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, both in power and in grace. The name above all other names.
Good morning. I'm John Dunn. Some reason they've made me an elder here. Like Tom, I'm certainly not perfect. But this is our time of offertory. We don't pass the plate here, but God does ask us to give of our own resources, our own talents, our own time, but it's a personal matter. You can put your financial offering in the bucket in the back, or you can click on the QR code in the bulletin, or go to our website, hopeisrael.org.
Excuse this.
I get allergies, and this clears my throat. And Tom, I read that chapter a couple times before I came, knowing it was my turn, and I go, I don't get this. Life's not Pollyanna. Mine certainly hasn't been. But I thought, well, Tom will clear it up for me. And you did, thank you. And the Lord brought to mind, excuse me, Psalm 23. I'll try to quote it, but if I get stuck, I'll read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's all Psalm 128. Then verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I apologize, that's King James. I reflected back on the 7 years that I walked through dementia with my wife. And the times when I got down and I had to sit and listen to the Gaither Vocal Band sing about Jesus and about God and about heaven to get myself back up, I realized they were the times I quit focusing on the Lord. Hard times come, and they're not always pleasant, and they're not always happy, but they can be joyful. And so I know that there's lots of us here who have lost loved ones. I'm in a grief share group out in Burning right now. People have lost kids. They've lost spouses. They've lost parents. But it isn't the end of the world. It is sad, and there is life after death of a loved one. But if we focus on God and keep our focus there and not on how bad our situation is, then there's joy and there's peace, knowing that the morning will come, the sun will shine again. So as we think about situations in our life, maybe we're not focusing on the Lord right now and we're down. Life isn't all that great. Turn on a good song if music helps you. Read the scriptures, but focus on God and he will bring you back to that joy. So as we contemplate our time, think about what God might want you to do. And I'll pray here in just a minute. Father, I thank you that when you left this, your son left this earth, you sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to bring us your word, to bring us your love, to bring us your peace. And while hard times come, we can know that they're here because you're shaping us, you're molding us, you're maturing us. I confess that probably the time that I was closest to you were the 7 years that Susan had dementia, because I needed you so much. I pray that for me and for this group, we'll need you that much even in the good times. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Will you stand and sing one last song with us? The team has to tell me what I'm doing because I forget from the time we practice to the time we actually get up here to lead y'all.
If Jesus kindly say, and with a whispering word, arise, my love, and come away, I'd run to meet my Lord. My soul is in my ears, my heart is all aflame. My eyes are sweetly drowned in tears, and melted is my frame. Raptured soul will rise up and give a cheerful spring, and dart through all the lofty skies to visit Zion's King, to visit Zion's King. He meets me with a kiss, with a smiling face, I taste the dear enchanted bliss and wonder at his grace. My raptured soul will rise up and give a cheerful spring, and dart through all the lofty skies to Zion's King, to visit Zion's King. A soft and tender sigh now heaves my hollow breast. I long to lay me down and die and find eternal. Raptured soul will rise up and give a cheerful spring, and dart through all the lofty skies to visit Zion's King, to visit Zion's King.
Let's do that again.
My raptured soul will cheerful spring, and dart through all the lofty skies to visit Zion's King, to visit Zion's King.
Someday I'm going to teach you all to clap on that.
Good luck.
I like challenges.
Your Latin Americans can hang with you.
Yeah, they're all.
Yeah,
they're
your
all
gringos up. Not so much.
Yeah,
I'm not going to follow.
True.
I tried to get the ladies to clap this morning, but they were a little bit.
Well, Savannah, you were wanting to work on your Spanish, so. Now, being on the worship team, you get to work on your Spanish.
And we're really happy about that.
All right. And if you want to have fun after the service, Savannah wants to work on her Spanish because of her job as an occupational therapist. So if you want to have fun after church, just go ask her dad, what is an occupational therapist? Make sure Savannah's there so she can watch him completely misunderstand and have no... Is that my right? Yeah, I, you know, I don't know that I could explain it either, but she's good at it. So.
We had other occupational therapists on the worship team. Go ahead, anyway.
All right. I believe you. God wants you to know that his love is blessing. And that love goes with you from this place into all aspects of your life. Will you open your hearts, receive the blessing of our Lord, and take it with you into the week ahead? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May you go in his peace.